You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 8th of November 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we've finally got the sentence that's been given to the left-wing MP, Claudia Webb, the one that threatened to throw acid over somebody. And of course, normally, if you threaten to throw acid over somebody, you're likely to get a prison sentence. But she doesn't only have diversity privilege, she doesn't only have black privilege, she's also an MP. And she wasn't actually given a prison sentence. Left-wing MP Claudia Webb was let off with a suspended sentence by what she had condemned as a white court after being convicted of harassment, including making an acid threat. So she was saying that she was going to be given a very, very harsh sentence because she was black and the court was white. But the fact of the matter is, she was actually given less of a sentence because she was black. And the judges have a big drive in place to limit the numbers of black people that they are actually sending to prison, because it's about four times their actual percentage of the population that black people are. So they have this big move to not send so many of them to prison. When they're under the age of 18, they're told to bear in mind that they may have been the victims of racism at some point in their life, and that is what could have led them to carry out these crimes. Claudia Webb, has she been the victims of racism? I'm certain she would say that she's been the victim of racism, but the fact of the matter is that she's actually been given less of a sentence here because she is black, and she's probably also only an MP because she was put on a diversity quota because the Labour Party wanted to get more women into the party, or more women MPs, and they wanted to have more black MPs. So they basically put these MPs that they chose in areas that were guaranteed to have a Labour win. So they were able to sort of pick and choose exactly who they wanted to be an MP, rather than having the people actually vote for a choice of MP. Webb, who replaced the similarly scandal-ridden Keith Vaz as Labour MP for Leicester East in 2019, and he ended up having to leave because he was caught paying for male prostitutes when he was supposed to be working, oh, and also taking cocaine. Webb was sentenced to just 10 weeks in prison, suspended for 2 years, meaning her sentence will not actually be activated unless she commits further offences within that time, and possibly not even then, as suspended sentences are not always activated even after further convictions. She was given this light punishment in addition to a requirement to perform some unpaid work. Despite having railed that she was a black woman in a white court facing a white system and white prosecutors, following her conviction, smearing the integrity of the justice system. So she was accusing the system of corruption, basically, and being prejudiced against black people. And of course, it's not prejudiced against black people. It's just that they're more likely to commit crimes, the same as the prison system. The justice system is not prejudiced against men. Men are more likely to commit crimes than women. That's why there's more of them in prison. We just refuse to face up to these facts and claim that it must be because white people are being racist. And white people are not racist. We're the least racist and the most objective people that we actually have, I would suggest. She continued, "I have been deliberately targeted because I am vulnerable. I know firsthand the sexism and racism institutions and the media use to vilify black women." So despite her being in court for threatening to throw acid over somebody, she still considers herself to be the victim. Despite being a member of parliament, she considers herself to be vulnerable. The disgraced Labour politician who was found guilty of harassing a love rival who she threatened to douse with acid defiantly told a judge the answer is yes when she was asked if she would remain employed as an MP. Now, I would suggest that a white person there would have felt shame and said, no, I cannot possibly bring this disgrace upon my fellow MPs, and they would have resigned. And she doesn't feel like that. And I think, again, that this highlights the differences that there are between black people and white people. She sees herself as the victim in this, and the thought that it might smear the rest of the politicians doesn't really hold any weight with her. And I think this is something that it shows the difference between whites and blacks. I mean, we see a lot of corruption happening in South Africa with the black MPs there, and they would never step down because they've been caught in committing crimes or anything like that. It's just not the way that they think. You know, people look different because they are different. If we see something that has a different form, it has a different function, because form and function are intimately connected. And we can see that the races are different. And logically, if you see something that is different, it's because it is different. And black people are different to us. And as I pointed out when I covered this case the other week, this really does show these differences between us in the way that she has responded to this, and in the way that she really sort of lost control of her emotions in the first place. Claudia Webb, 56, who is sitting as an independent after having the Labour whip removed, was handed a suspended 10-week jail sentence and 200 hours community service for harassing Michelle Merritt after becoming suspicious of the 59-year-old's relationship with her partner Lester Thomas, a Chelsea FC scout. She was today spared jail, despite being found guilty of harassment, but still faces being thrown out of the Commons as a judge slammed her for claiming she was the real victim. But will she be thrown out of the Commons? I don't think she will be thrown out of the Commons. And if she was, she would just scream that it was racism that was the source of it. Senior District Judge Paul Goldspring said that it was concerning that a probation officer had to remind her that she was a convicted criminal. Again, she won't see herself as a criminal because she's an MP, and she thinks that she should be allowed to do whatever she likes, basically, because she sees herself as being at the top of the tree. She shouldn't have to be questioned. And on top of that, on top of actually being an MP, she's also black, so she sees that anything negative that happens to her, it must be racism that is the source of it, because that's what we've told black people. We've told them that for the last 70 years, that anything negative that happens to them, any negative life outcomes that occur, they must be down to white racism. They're not actually down to black people themselves. They can't possibly do anything wrong, is what is implied, basically, by what we're taught. When the judge asked whether she would remain employed as an MP, Webb loudly declared from the dock, "The answer is yes." Well, what about her constituents? Are they going to want her to be an MP? And if she was indeed actually only put in there because her constituents were definitely going to vote Labour, and she was put in there for this diversity quota, and the fact of the matter is, they're just going to vote Labour again next time rather than actually voting for her. You see, this is the problem with these diversity quotas. It means that people are not put into the position that they are in through their own merit or their own qualifications. They're just put there because of their race, and it goes to their head, and they think that they've been given this job because of their merit, and they haven't. And a lot of the time, they're not actually up to doing the job, and they end up being removed from whatever position they were in, and they end up putting them facing the public, basically. So you tend to see a lot of diversity that is facing the public because they're not really capable of doing the more demanding jobs in the background. Today, Chief Magistrate Paul Goldspring called abuse she had received online disgusting, but said that he found it odd and concerning that a probation service report said that Webb felt like a victim herself. Well, black people consider themselves to be the permanent victims, don't they? And again, because that's what we've told them. And that is what is of benefit to them. If they claim to have been the victim of racism, then they get what they're asking for, don't they? So they would be a bit silly not to. And in a case like this, it really highlights it. The district judge said she had behaved in a callous and intimidatory manner and noted the four occasions when she referred to herself as the victim during her testimony from the witness box at the trial. And she was claiming that her boyfriend was victimizing her at one point, and then claiming that there was racism online that was victimizing her at another point. Webb was kicked out of labor after her sentencing. Speaking outside of court, she said she was disappointed by Mr. Goldspring's decision and repeated her claim to be innocent. I mean, how can she claim that she's innocent when she's on this recording saying that she was going to throw acid over this woman? She says, I am lodging an appeal, and despite today's sentence, I fully expect the appeal to be granted and that ultimately it will be successful, she said. So she's not really living in reality there. It's like she doesn't really understand the court process, how it works, and she expects that if she says that she's innocent, that she's just going to be found innocent. This is something that the David Lammy report actually found. It found that black people are far more likely to plead not guilty, even when there's masses and masses of evidence to show that they are guilty, even when there's film footage of them carrying out these crimes, that they will still plead not guilty. And this is one of the reasons why they end up with longer prison sentences than white people. Because if a white person knows they're guilty, they will say, yeah, I'm guilty. But blacks, they know they're guilty, and yet they still plead innocent. And I think it's because they don't really properly understand the justice system. But this is supposed to be a very intelligent woman. I mean, she's an MP. I mean, I would suggest that really she isn't that intelligent, and she was just given her job because she was black so that the Labour Party could say, look at us, look at how many black women we've got in the Labour Party. And it's similar with Diane Abbott, who really isn't very bright. And it's not really very good of the Labour Party to put these women in these positions right out there in front of everybody, where they're then going to fail, like Diane Abbott fails with adding up numbers, and this Claudia Webb has failed by losing her temper. And they're going to be made the butt of jokes, aren't they, because of that. And the Labour Party have put them right out front and said that they're just as good as everybody else. And of course they aren't. It's not really fair on these black women to put them in these positions. It's similar to the black football players that were taking the penalties, isn't it? And all the pressure was on them to win the game, and they didn't win the game. And people were then going to criticise them because of that. And of course, then they're going to end up thinking that, this criticism is because of race, and it's not really because of race, is it? I mean, I'm not criticising this MP because of her race. I'm criticising her because of what she has done. And I'm pointing out the differences that there are between the races. And I point out the differences that there are between the races because I believe that multiculturalism is not conducive to any race. It's not conducive to black people, and it's not conducive to white people. We would be much better off living among our own people. And she may not have been found guilty if she'd been living among her own people and it had been a black court with black judges. I mean, that she may not have been found guilty. I mean, we end up seeing these black politicians in South Africa that end up getting found innocent when it looks like they are actually quite guilty. And we have cases in America now with this Kimberly Fox, the chief attorney for Chicago, who keeps saying, well, it's mutual combat. when you end up with two gangs fighting against one another or a murder taking place. She says, well, there's no charges to answer. It's mutual combat. It was two people fighting together. And that could have been the way that this was looked at. This was a love rival. This love rival had obviously been, or this is the way that Claudia Webb saw it, this love rival had been coming on to her husband, and she deserved to be threatened. And that may be the way that a black court with black traditions and black culture may have looked upon it. And they may have said, well, she's innocent. It was her man that this woman was going after. She's got no case to answer to. So, you know, it could quite conceivably be that she would have been found innocent in a black court. But this is not a black court. It's a multicultural court, because we're all forced to live in a multicultural country where you can be judged by somebody that is not a part of your race. And of course, then there's always going to be that concern there that discrimination may have come into it. So, you know, I do sympathize with what she is actually saying here. And the solution to it is to abolish the policy of multiculturalism. She says, throughout this process, I have received numerous threats to my life and vile racist abuse. The cowards responsible for these attacks will not deter me from clearing my name. And again, if she didn't live in a multicultural society, there would be no vile racist abuse, would there? It wouldn't be able to occur. Webb is currently sitting as an independent MP for Leicester East after having her Labour whip removed. Labour has demanded she resign as an MP today and this afternoon confirmed her expulsion as a party member. At her sentencing this afternoon, the MP's lawyer, Paul Hines, said the defence team were taken aback by an application for costs totalling £17,620. He said his client, who told the court she had a salary of just £81,000, does not have that sort of money available. I mean, what has she been spending that money on? What was she not expecting to actually have to pay for this defence? If she lost it, I mean, she could hardly be given legal aid when she's on £81,000 a year and is an MP, can she? Under parliamentary rules, any jail sentence that is not overturned, suspended or not, will lead to a recall petition. If 10% of the electorate then vote for her to be recalled, there will be a by-election. However, this process can only start after appeals have been exhausted, and given that Webb has said she will appeal, she could still be in the Commons for months to come. So we will still be seeing her in there. She's hanging on with all grim determination, isn't she? She's refusing to go. Well, moving on to another news story. This is a feel-good news story, this one. And I really do recommend everybody go and have a look at the pictures for this, because it looks like they had an absolutely fantastic night. Bonfire night, basically, in Lewes. Bonfire night celebrations have returned in the UK as a giant effigy of Matt Hancock hugging his lover and Guy Fawkes wearing a face mask were set fire in Lewes. The effigies are among those which were set alight in the historic East Sussex town, which hosts the country's biggest and arguably most famous November 5th celebrations, and which returned after they were cancelled by coronavirus lockdowns last year. And these sorts of traditions are really great for the community, and they're something that has gone on for hundreds of years in Britain. There are lots of traditions like this in Cornwall, and this is one in the south of England, in the southeast of England, which doesn't really have that many old traditions, but it does have this one. And these effigies, these floats that were created, you can see how much effort went into producing them. All the townsfolk are getting involved. They're all dressed up. You've got people with the white pith helmets on and the red uniforms of the British Empire. You've got burning crosses. You've got people with torches on fire. I mean, it gives a real sense of a timeless tradition which is actually going on there. As I say, the pictures are absolutely fantastic from this, and you can see everybody's having a really great time. And the effigies that they have are always some kind of commentary on what's going on, and they're not right wing, they're not left wing, they really poke fun at everybody from all sides, which again is a great British tradition that is now under threat, really, with all these claims that making jokes about minorities is racist or is a hate crime. This sort of thing is in danger of being shut down. A glum Matt Hancock is seen sitting on a rock while hugging a naked woman above a sign that reads CCTV in operation, a reference to his affair with Gina Colodangelo that was revealed earlier this year via his office's CCTV cameras. So they've actually got quite a few pokes at the coronavirus and at the lockdown and the vaccines. I mean, it's very politically incorrect, this. So that's what's so wonderful about it, that tens of thousands of people showed up for this. Below that, a painted caption reads "Hands, face, disgrace," a play on the hands, face, space messaging from the government that people should wash their hands, wear a face covering and social distance to protect themselves against coronavirus. An effigy of Guy Fawkes wearing a face mask and with vaccine needles in his arms was also torched. Think of the symbolism of that. I mean, they're basically saying, we don't want face masks, we don't want vaccines, we want to get rid of them. I mean, this is very subversive, what is going on here. Perhaps YouTube might end up banning the videos of this for being against government promotion of vaccines. The giant figure sits astride two barrels of vaccine rather than gunpowder, and in front of a green petrol can and a toilet roll with the words "Panic Buyers," a reference to the recent fuel shortages at garages across the country and the stockpiling of toilet paper at the start of the pandemic. And it's very, very topical, this. There was also an effigy of Dominic Cummings requiring an eye test following a trip to Barnard Castle. US President Joe Biden also featured in the controversial event, depicted as a chicken clad in red, white and blue being led from Kabul. So you're having a little dig at America for losing to the Taliban there after fighting against them for the last 20 years and mocking Joe Biden. During the event, one group of men were shown running through the town, towing barrels of burning tar. I mean, you've got loads of flames here as well, these flaming torches and barrels rolling down the road. You really get a sense that this is something that's been going on for centuries. I mean, even before Guy Fawkes, we had these traditions of jumping over the fire and lighting up beacons on May Day. On Beltane, we would have the Beltane fires. In Sweden, you've got fires on Midsummer Day. I mean, these traditions, really, they go back thousands of years rather than just centuries. I mean, we have this tradition on November the 5th because it's celebrating the fact that Guy Fawkes wasn't able to blow up the Houses of Parliament. But at that time of year, we've also got Halloween and All Saints Day and all the traditions that actually come with that as well. And you've got this big festival of laughter, really, before the winter sets in. Some years, the event attracts up to 60,000 visitors. I mean, that's quite like it's like a music festival, isn't it, with that many people. Although, according to police, this year there were between 25,000 and 30,000 revelers. Lewis is famed for its topical and sometimes controversial bonfire night effigies, and usually attracts thousands, if not tens of thousands, of revelers. In 2019, there was a Brexit roller coaster which paraded down the street before being burned. And the year before that, there was a giant portrayal of Boris Johnson holding an axe, and Theresa May's severed head was in his hands and was set on fire. I mean, it's quite gruesome, this, as well. And you contrast that with some of these court cases that we've had that have been against youngsters for depicting violent imagery of people in the establishment. And, you know, when they see things like this going on, they think, well, it's okay for me to do things like that, surely. And, you know, they do have a point. If we're going to have things like this, and I think we should be having things like this, then they should be able to depict politicians and that are having this sort of thing done to them. Of course, it doesn't mean that the people that were involved in this wish Theresa May any harm. They're just trying to make a point, aren't they? They're just trying to make a point that she messed Brexit up. She kept trying to hold Brexit up, and Boris Johnson was her nemesis. Two Trump figures were set alight in Lewis in 2016 at the culmination of its annual fireworks event. So this shows us that they're not right wing, they're not left wing, they're just going after the establishment. Other effigies which went up in flames included Theresa May, Boris Johnson, Nigel Farage and David Cameron. In 2014, Sussex police investigated after two effigies of Alex Salmond featured as part of two Bonfire Society's displays after he lost the Scottish referendum vote as First Minister. So I wonder why they were investigating that. They're saying that this was an attack on Alex Salmond. And they do have all these separate Bonfire Societies there. They each have their own effigy, and all year round they're sort of planning on what they're going to do, and it's all kept top secret. It's very similar to the sort of festivals that they have in the Alps and out in Hungary and Bulgaria, and yet this is right in the middle of the coastal town. It's right in the middle of the south of England, the most built up part of the country. That's what's so endearing about this, is that people are still doing that, and it's also very white as well. I don't think I can recall any non-whites actually getting involved in this from the pictures. In the same year, Vladimir Putin was depicted in a mankini following Russia's conflict with the Ukraine and the annexation of Crimea. The Pope, Syria's President Assad, former Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, David Cameron, Nick Clegg and Angela Merkel have all been subjected to ridicule over the years. Lewis's controversial event found itself in hot water in 2016 when revelers who blacked up as Zulu warriors agreed to stop after a raft of complaints. And that's a real shame. I don't understand why there are complaints about people blacking up. I mean, it's just fancy dress, isn't it? I mean, why would anybody get offended at people dressing up in fancy dress? I guess it does highlight the fact that the differences between black people and white people, it's not just a skin colour, because if somebody is white and they paint themselves black, you can quite clearly see from their features that they're different to a black man, because a black man has different features. And white people have different features. Negroes have different features to Caucasians. Of course, having to use the more common term of black and white, it does make it confusing, because sometimes people will think you're just talking about a colour, when in actual fact you're talking about an ethnicity. And I guess if they were dressing up as these Zulu warriors, that's why there were these troops from the British Empire that are also there in these pictures. It's probably something from the Michael Caine movie, Zulu. Campaign group Bonfire Against Racism. Bonfire Against Racism. Imagine that. It's everything against racism now, isn't it? They called it a racist act, and they asked the Borough Bonfire Society to stop painting faces black. In 2016, after a visiting dance troupe from KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa threatened to boycott the event they were booked to perform at, organisers have agreed to not black up. And I bet that was just because they were told to by the Bonfire Against Racism. I bet they didn't have any problem with it themselves. I mean, actually blacking up in the Morris dancing troupes is a very old tradition in Britain. And we used to have mummers plays as well. We used to have a mummers play about St. George, and there would be a white woman that had been kidnapped by a Turk, and the person that would be playing the Turk, they would be blacked up and dressed up as a Turk, and St. George would slay the Turk and he would rescue the maiden. And this is a very old tradition. And this old tradition in the Morris dances as well of blacking up, it may have actually come from working in the mines, because when we came out of the mines, we were covered in soot. We don't really know where this tradition actually came from. There isn't many links to black people. We didn't have black people in Britain. It was very rare that anybody would actually see a sub-Saharan Negro. So we don't even know if that is where this tradition actually came from. And it's such a shame that they try to get rid of these old traditions today. It's like they just hate everything about our past. We just hate our ancestors. We hate our traditions. We think that we should just give up and commit suicide. And that's the message that is really being pushed by our establishment, by the mainstream media. So that's why it's so great that this festival is still going on. Troop leader Tanda Gumede called the practice a gross misrepresentation, and Mick Symes, a committee member of the Borough Bonfire Society, agreed to stop. But of course, now it looks ridiculous, doesn't it? You've got the soldiers of the British Empire in their red outfits and their white pith helmets, and then you haven't got the people that they were fighting against, which were the Zulus, because people aren't allowed to dress up as Zulus anymore. And it's absolutely ridiculous. I bet next they will be telling them that they have to stop burning the crosses as well, because it looks too much like the Ku Klux Klan. So I would suggest as many people as possible to go along to this next year, because it probably won't be too long until it's completely sanitized and politically corrected and no longer has the excitement that it does now. So top marks to Lewis for their bonfire night last Friday. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.